Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That the Amazon is being targeted by the Federal Trade Commission, the federal government's agency of thugs that goes after businesses for different things. And they're saying the company, Amazon, tricked people into signing up for Prime and then deliberately made that service hard to cancel. So we'll look into the allegations there here in a little bit. But first, we go to the phones. We got Renee calling us from Louisiana. Go ahead, Renee.
Okay, can I change the subject?
Yes, it's Free Talk Live. You can always change the subject. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I want to get on the sensitivity of that submarine getting imploded in the ocean.
The sensitivity of it?
Yeah, I mean, there was people that were happy because some of the people were rich, and and then some people were upset because what these people put on the media, which is very ugly and mean. I've got different angles of looking at it.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Well, one of the angle is, they're rich. They're doing what government used to do. They're exploring. You know, I hope they could do it safely. I want them to come back. I want to see what they found out. Like they got the Avatar guy. He went do something that traditionally the government does, but they're running out of money, misspending money. So it's nice when the private sector and adventurous and people go do what used to be done by government or companies, mm-hmm. like the cowboy days, the fur trapping days, because that way we get more, a bigger store of information and knowledge.
Yeah.
The other angle is... one guy was a military guy, the others are rich. I mean, it's not necessary, like the group that disliked these rich people, how would they have felt? Because they're a particular flavor group of people for the most part. How would they have felt if George Soros or the BlackRock guy got imploded in a submarine? Would they feel just as good? That's some rich people there too, Or would they feel better if, poor guy was in there. Would they pick and choose who they,
Yeah, I think it's kind of, it's pretty sick to, feel good about somebody dying. At least in this case, it seems like it was probably instantaneous was their death, so they probably didn't even feel anything. According to what I read, and I think Bonnie saw something similar, that at the pressure, ocean pressure that they were, that was under, the implosion would have happened so quickly that the human body would not have even been able to notice it. Like there's a certain number of milliseconds, I think it was like 25 milliseconds or something like that, that humans are, that they require in order to even detect that something has happened. And this would have happened in like a millisecond or something like that. It was much faster than the human's body's ability to respond, yet let alone like feel pain or something like that. That's the good news here, if there's any good news, is that it was over very quickly for them. But to revel in the death of somebody else, and regardless of what their income level is pretty sick.
My take is, there's, like, again, different angles. There's the slightly socialist flavor group of our people that are happy, which they shouldn't be happy for anybody. There's angry people with, there are rich people that make a bunch of money, and you can't, how that judge say that you can't legislate morality, but you know, this brings something different in itself, because in the core belief of working class people, there's a resentment of the people producing the money because they don't pay enough while they're producing the money. I mean, how much is enough to pay a worker? We try to do wages.
Well, the way we figure it out is by market competition.
But if you accept the job, it must be enough.
Right. And that's the idea.
I worked in a hot sauce plant, and I could swear the money this guy made, he could have paid his workers a lot more.
So I mean, you don't really know that. Are you looking at his books? Do you have enough knowledge of accounting to go look at his books and figure that out, or are you just saying that?
Well, I made rough calculations of how many bottles is produced, and at half price being sent to the store, how much more they can make. I'm almost positive. Anyhow, the recipes they have to make the hot sauce with, I'm almost positive this man's making a lot more money than he could be paying. He could have his new car every year.
So ask for a raise.
Yeah, ask for a raise. Go make your own hot sauce company.
I don't work there anymore. I got me a raise. I got me a better job. The
perfect.
American dream. I left there. I left them people.
Perfect. And that's the way you handle it. I mean, that's how wages are determined in the marketplace, Renee, is it's through competition. The company owner obviously wants to pay as little as possible, and the employee wants to get as much as possible, and they have to somehow meet in the middle there at a level that both of them find to be acceptable, until you find that it's not acceptable, and then you want more, and they don't want to pay you more, so you walk away. And as Bonnie suggested, you could always start your own company. There's plenty of boutique hot sauce providers out there. You and I, Bonnie, we were just at some store here locally. And we found
everyone in Keene should go to the Hobby Lobby and support the Hobby Lobby.
I don't know how many Keene listeners we have, but I suspect that company exists elsewhere. But it's
I don't care about the company elsewhere. I'm saying there are people in Keene.
Hobby Lobby here.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Well, anyways, there are people in Keene that want to make the Hobby Lobby fail, and that pisses me off just because
they're religious.
They're religious or whatever. Mm. It pisses me off because I love Hobby Lobby, and if it fails because people at Keene are too stupid to realize what they have, we don't have a crappy half-size Joann's anymore. We have a full-size Hobby Lobby, and if you don't want to support it because you something something birth control something something Christianity, then you're dumb.
Well, that's
and I'm
going to
shop
every
there three times as much.
Does crappy things. Thanks for the call tonight, Renee. I appreciate it. Every corporation has things that there's wrong with it. Right?
I don't think that they did anything that crappy. What they did was they said, with our employees, we are choosing not to provide birth control as a part of our health plan.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't want to be paying for that because they don't believe in birth control. Okay. The people who work there can work somewhere else. It's not like, I can't possibly get another job paying $12 an hour to sit at the front desk and check people out.
Yeah, buy your own birth control. Whatever.
Yeah, work somewhere else and buy your own birth control. Get a health insurance through something else, something other than the job.
Let's see. So we found this company. There was this hot sauce that was there for like half off, and we bought the hot sauce, and it was fine. It isn't the best hot sauce in the world, but you know, it's one of those boutique hot sauce makers where they're making. I think they call it small batch, right? Mm-hmm. So they're not a mega corporation. They're just a small family owned hot sauce maker with a handful of employees, but they managed to make it work. You know, I don't know what it cost them to start that business, but they got distributed by Hobby Lobby, right? So good for them. Let's continue here with Ricky in Pennsylvania. But, of course, the average person doesn't have the entrepreneurial mentality. The average person has the give-me-a-job mentality. And most of those people will never step out from that particular viewpoint. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, brother. Ian and Miss Bonnie, good evening. Well, you know, I've been listening to Sarah's call since I came back upwards of 6 months ago now. I'm going to talk a little bit about her in the end, but before that, I'm going to talk something about these companies. Now, you did mention Amway. Now, that's a company, of course, me being my age, I'm very familiar with.
Yeah, they renamed themselves, I don't know, like 2 decades ago when they embraced the Internet, too. I think it was Quickstar or Kickstar or something like that. But
I didn't even notice, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, they're still Amway, though.
Is Amway, like, potions that are supposed to give you energy, stuff like that?
They have that, I think. I've never been in Amway, but they're sort of like notorious as the most successful U.S.-based network marketing company. So they've got lotions and potions and soaps and like a whole bunch of different stuff.
I think that's the one that my friend's mom sold in high school.
Good chance of it.
They have this.
Well, we're gonna,
they
we're
have this
cut right.
One mixture that they say works better than Adderall to give you energy. And I tried it, it did nothing
to me.
Yeah, right.
All right, but anyways, the words
the most important thing. Let's go to the important things.
Excuse me?
Go ahead, Ricky.
The word you were looking for is pyramid scheme. Now, I'm going to point some other ones out.
I mean, we
out.
Used that word.
No, I didn't hear it.
We did, but go ahead.
You said scam. I didn't hear pyramid scheme.
Anyway, go ahead. What were you calling about? Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to name two more famous examples. One of them actually had some decent stuff. One of them didn't. And I wanted to say a little something about Sarasoff. Now, this one Bonnie will remember. The second one she probably won't. Now, another famous example, and this is almost identical to the stuff that Sarah's been pushing, and that's Avon. And all their stuff was crap. I mean, and the model.
Avon's nice. Avon has nice makeup. It's dumb to ever buy something from a company that makes you have to buy it in that stupid fashion. I don't think that it's going to live on forever.
What about their model, Bonnie?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I just said. I think it's dumb to buy something from a company that has that model, but that doesn't mean their stuff is crap. Their makeup remover is, like, famously good. Like, eye makeup remover, their lotions and stuff like that are nice. Their perfumes are nice.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier is a lot of the network marketing companies, they've got good products. It's just they charge way too much for them.
Well, that's where the second example comes in. And this may be before Bonnie's time. Now, I know my mother was into it, and I remember as a kid, my old man put a stop to it. And this was really notorious with that model. And they actually did have some neat items that they came out with that were really cool, but their model sucked, and nobody made money. It would cost you money, big time, to be part of it, and you never make money. And that's Tupperware.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody
everybody's heard of that.
Tupperware. And they had some neat stuff.
They did.
You know,
they did.
The
yeah, that's what the old saying was, the Tupperware party. This is kind of what started
It was brutal. It was brutal. And it was a whole... It was like a little world unto itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the culty aspect. Okay, so the whole world unto itself. This is the cult aspect of the network marketing. Tupperware was huge in the 70s and the 80s, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, and then what ended up happening was what the network marketing companies always said to their distributors that you weren't allowed to do. There's a whole rule book. Whenever you join a network marketing company, you may remember this, Bonnie, from with the one that you were in, where they'll tell you the things you're not allowed to do as a distributor. And there are some that will make exception to this, but generally they will tell you you're not allowed to advertise your business. You're not allowed to sell the products in your store. If you have like you happen to have your own store in whatever town you live in, you're not allowed
and
to sell the
products. And that's where I'm going with this, Ian, in the end. See, I've listened to these calls. I listen every night, you know, and I memorize everything I hear generally. Now, some things I've been hearing. Now, Sarah, not talking about travel light cameras. She's talking about her marketing stuff. Now, you did warn her at a point, but what's interesting is, she pointed out that the owner of the company's a Mormon. Then I remember she was talking to the captain the one night. She said, Con Richard, and given $500 to buy a prayer. But now she's now talking about going into Mormonism and talking into it all last night. The question is, how much of this is her just being involved in Mormonism because of this company, or more to just be involved kind of pushing the marketing?
I don't know. That is an interesting question. I didn't make the connection. I didn't remember the detail. Well, thank you, Ricky, for that, and thank you for the call tonight.
No,
I appreciate it. I didn't make that connection. I didn't recall that the owner of the company that Sarah is working for, without saying she's working for it, is apparently a Mormon, and now all of a sudden Sarah's interested in it.
Weird, though, because, I mean, she does have other reasons to be interested in it. Like, she's already been interested in Christianity, even though I think she says she doesn't consider herself a Christian, but
she's been to a Christian church before.
Goes to Christian churches in her town, and she also listens to Joyce Myers on TV, and she also has dipped her toes into other religions. So it's not really surprising to me that she would be like, oh, no, these people I know are Mormons and now I'm interested in it too. She's not someone who's like, I don't know. But I was actually interested and forgot to ask Ricky what he meant. What does he mean that Richard paid $500 for a prayer?
I don't know. I don't
Is that a Mormon
that.
Thing?
I don't remember that call, so I can't speak to that.
Oh, well, they said it was on Captain's Night, so.
That would be why. All right. So, Sarah did call in about an interesting issue, which is this Federal Trade Commission lawsuit against Amazon. They're saying that the company tricked people into signing up for Prime and then made it hard to cancel. And, Bonnie, you had an experience with an Amazon product with a Kindle where you're still having trouble, apparently, canceling the service that you had, the automatic re-up. We'll give you more credits
Kindle
each
Unlimited.
Month. Yeah, per month service. And do you think that you need the government to help you here, Bonnie?
No, I think I need to just call customer service. I was already kind of like, okay, when we canceled it, I was like, I canceled it, right? It wasn't like I was sure that mm-hmm. I did, but I was still kind of like, what the, when it came back on. It made it very confusing. There wasn't just a big red button that says, cancel your subscription. I mean,
right.
There's probably lots of people who seriously can't lose this next $10, and they thought they canceled it, and then they, what do you know, next month it comes out anyway. They got to call the company and, like, ask them to give the $10 back because they didn't mean to do that, and hopefully they'll do it.
Yeah, I don't know. Prime, according to the story here, this is Slate.com, they asked a little bit about what this is about. What is the lawsuit essentially based on? And they mentioned the price here, $139 service. That's for the year, I think. It gets you access to all of Amazon streaming and music and the fast shipping, from the free, what, 2-day, I think, shipping that the suit, or at least it was, I don't know if it still is. The suit alleges that Amazon makes it super difficult to cancel. It takes somewhere between 6 or 7 clicks. You have to find where on the website. My favorite detail, actually, says the author, is that internally at Amazon, they refer to it as the Iliad process, referring to Homer's Iliad, the epic poem about the Trojan War, because apparently it is just as epic to try and cancel Prime.
That's a long-winded explanation for, like, this joke we say all the time.
Dark patterns are apparently discussed in the suit. What are they? Well, they say there are ways that companies design their interfaces to nudge you in the way they want. When you're going through and clicking on something, it might say, are you really sure you don't want to add this other thing to your cart? Or maybe you'd like this upgrade to faster shipping. The suit said that Amazon is constantly nudging people into Prime because it knows that once you're in Prime, you're not very likely to cancel. Well, one of the reasons for that is probably because people really like it. If you're an Amazon, look, I don't own stock in Amazon, okay? But obviously they're very popular. I've made many purchases there over the years, despite whatever issues they may have. Because it's convenient, you know. People buy on Amazon, and it's not always cheaper. Okay, but it is convenient. You still should price around. You still should look for other options.
It's cheapest most of the time, but you're right that sometimes you can look around and find out that's not.
We got Valentina for like half the price somewhere else.
It's shocking, too, because this never happens. This wasn't just, we got Valentina for half the price at Walmart.com. No, it was a small, not chain store in San Antonio that shipped to us for cheaper than, I'm just like rambling about this because it's weird. Usually Amazon would have a much cheaper price than that.
And it was awesome. I love Valentina hot sauce. Anyway, so the reason why people don't cancel isn't necessarily because it's difficult, but because they're probably happy with the service. They get the music, they get the other bonuses, and they get free shipping. And so it's like, it adds up. You know, if you buy enough stuff from Amazon in 1 year and you're paying shipping a lot, then it'll pay for itself. So they say Amazon knows that once it gets you, it gets to keep you. They also know that Prime users are much more likely to do a lot of their spending on Amazon. That's true. I think that's absolutely true because people, in their mind, they think, well, I get free shipping, so even if it costs a little bit more, it's still worth buying, right? Because you're not having to pay the shipping cost there. As Amazon says, Prime users buy about double the amount of stuff that non-Prime users do. And again, they're choosing to do that, right? Like, that doesn't mean they're getting ripped off. It means that they feel like they're taking advantage of a good deal. They're getting this Prime thing. So let's see. On the one hand, it might seem strange to bring a lawsuit if, as Amazon says, the vast majority like Prime and keep it. But on the other hand, the FTC is taking close aim at businesses offering subscriptions that are easy to get into and tough to get out of. What other steps has the agency taken in this direction? The difficult to cancel thing has been a main focus of the FTC under its current chairman, Lina Khan, or boss, or whatever, boss man. They have brought a bunch of cases against other companies that make it hard to cancel as well.
Are these people going to say that they actually called customer service and couldn't cancel, though? Because I'm sure that's what I have to do for Kindle Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it sucks. Like, I don't like calling customer service, waiting all day, and then finally figuring it out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but at the same time, if you could cancel if you were a little less lazy, like me, I don't think the government should be able to take money from them.
They proposed a rule earlier this year. They want companies to make it as easy for consumers to cancel a subscription as it is for them to sign up. If it takes you one click to sign up for something, it should only take you one click to cancel it.
That's stupid.
So with Prime, even though about 90% of people stay, the FTC is, quote, looking out for those 10% of people who do want to cancel, unquote. So this is obviously a pro-government website. Slate.com loves themselves the state.
It's not like I love corporations, but, I mean, have a little self-responsibility.
Right.
When I said I was going to get in on this lawsuit, I was joking, but I do see where people are coming from that it's hard and confusing to cancel these things. Mine wasn't with Prime. In fact, since I canceled Prime like a year ago, I don't remember any issue canceling Prime. If it's just that it takes 8 clicks...
Oh, 6 to 7 clicks, you poor
yeah,
thing.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
In the Amazon Kindle thing, it's so confusing because it goes back and forth. Anytime you want to buy a book from Kindle, even it goes back and forth between, like, you can do this on the Amazon app on your phone. Oh, no, you can't do this function on the Amazon app on your phone. You got to do it on your Kindle, and back and forth.
That sounds annoying.
And there's something like that going on with it where I was like, pretty sure I canceled it, but I also kind of thought it seemed kind of weird.
Mm.
But I was pretty sure I canceled
it. Didn't feel right.
Yeah, just something didn't feel right even though I was pretty sure I canceled it, and I didn't, apparently.
Yeah, I understand the appeal of what they're saying here, but I also understand why a company would want to retain your business. And so, like, it's not just online things. It's everything that is a subscription. If you try to cancel your cell phone service, if you try to cancel your cable service.
I just remembered something. Whenever I tried to cancel Amazon Prime last, and I didn't the first time, it was annoying. It went through. I got the 1 year charge, which is like, I don't know, $60 or something. I called them and said, like, hey, I thought I canceled this, and they gave me my money back. So if this is the case that it is hard and then they'll give you your money back, you have no case. If you
That's
can call
point.
Customer service and say, hey, give
you
me my
make
money
us
back.
Think about it, right?
Yeah.
The number here is 603-283-6160. You can share your thoughts. Maybe you want to share your cancellation story. Was it a nightmare? This is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The U.S. Attorney's Office in San Antonio is giving an update on the nation's deadliest human smuggling incident, which happened 1 year ago today. 4 more arrests have been made since then.
We are one step closer to delivering justice for those migrants.
U.S. Attorney Jamie Esparza says the men allegedly moved the migrants from stash houses along the border to the back of a sweltering 18-wheeler. There's no air conditioning, and 53 died. These four new defendants joined two others who are currently awaiting trial. The driver and the organizer both face the death penalty if found guilty. More than $200 billion in potential COVID relief pandemic funds were lost in fraudulent schemes. A report by the Inspector General of the Small Business Administration shows nearly $30 billion of those funds have been reclaimed by the Inspector General's office and other federal agencies. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yep, it is Free Talk Live. The phones are open. If you want to join us here, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online anytime. We do have our own social media platform over at social.freetalklive.com. And you can interact there with other Free Talk Live hosts as well as some of the listeners to the show and other people that maybe don't know a whole lot about us. The server is an open server. However, we do ask for a quick statement about why you want to join, when you join. That way we can trap the spammers and keep them out. So head over there to social.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up. Ian and Bonnie here in the studio tonight. And let's go back to your phone calls and thoughts. We've been talking about the Amazon. There's a suit. The FTC, the federal gang, is suing Amazon over supposedly deceptive practices. But is that really true? Go ahead, Tim. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
I would like to cancel my subscription, please. I'd like to cancel my subscription with the government.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't
great.
That be nice?
Yeah, you know what? That's you're making a good point, because like if the government goes after Amazon for this, that's kind of the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it's funny how the federal government doesn't know how much money they spent. The $6 billion... They made an accounting error.
Oh, yeah, the accounting error that is going to allow them to send another $6 billion over to Ukraine and the government there.
Yep. Yeah. But every year they know how much money we owe them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you get it wrong, whatever that number is, then you get to go to prison. Yeah, I think you make a great point here tonight, Tim, and it's well taken that good luck canceling the government, right? Like, oh, well, yeah, you... you can't do that. You've got to vote, and you got to vote harder, and you got to work at organizing and try to change the system from the inside. Whereas these other companies, if you don't want to deal with them, you just stop doing business with them. You walk away from it. You never go through their doors ever again. You don't have an obligation to use their services. But with the government, if you don't use their, if you don't pay for their services, whether you use them or not, they will kill you. Thanks for the call tonight, Tim. Great point. Really appreciate it. Let's talk to Mr. Butt. He's in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
Dr. Butt.
Dr. Butt now. Okay, that's an improvement.
What'd you call me? How do you get?
Do you have to say it every time?
But call the doctor.
Yes, I do. Do you have to say? Do you have to say Mr. Butt every time?
No, you got called Dr. Butt. You got an upgrade.
Yeah, well, I am a doctor. They're very good, Bonnie. Thank you very much. But I go by my rank, major, major pain in the butt.
Nah,
major
butt. Many words. Major butt.
Except,
that's fine. I'll take that one.
Except I have once again transitioned. I'm now a major beta male in the butt.
I don't think going from a normal male to a beta male is a transition. Well, I guess it is a type of transition. You're right.
It is.
Do you become a beta male, or were you born a beta male?
Both. I was born a beta male, and I also became one. So,
okay.
Anyway,
why would you do that? Like, why would you want to be a beta male?
I don't know. I don't think that maybe people want to be a beta male. So anyway, in a future date, I will tell you how I spent, and I'm going to file an FTC complaint and a federal lawsuit if I have to. Verizon, I spent 14 hours over the course of 7 phone calls with Verizon, and they remedied absolutely nothing that they said that they would remedy. But what I was calling about,
were you trying to cancel your service?
He told us about this before. Yeah, sucks.
No. It's a whole bunch of intricate things, and I'll give you the bullet points another time because it's I don't want to do it now. What I want to talk about now is what I called two nights ago. You and Arya didn't let me get to the question of law that I have about your court case, and then last night you blocked me, Ian. You blocked me. I called, and you blocked me. So
no, I don't think you got blocked. You just didn't get in. What were you going to say?
Yeah,
go ahead.
When I was on hold for a total of like an hour and a half, I didn't get in. Yep. Uh-huh. So question of about your court case is now we can't really answer it in your case, Ian, because your sentencing hasn't come. But Aria's sentencing did, and there was a monetary aspect. I believe the fine was $5,000.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. I didn't remember hearing anything about it. And normally the government, like, tries to seize all your assets. And I know they did seize assets that you had in your possession when they raided your house illegally. But did they seize assets from Arya?
I think they ended up with some Bitcoin from her.
Maybe, like, some gold backs? I don't remember.
Yeah. I mean, they took stuff from her house, but they have returned her computer. They've returned some of the things that they took that didn't have anything to do with, you know, the sales of Bitcoin. And then they did seize, I believe, some amount of Bitcoin. It's in the government paperwork.
Well, it's in the government paperwork. How much is it?
I don't recall.
Yeah, I just honestly don't remember.
I think it was a couple Bitcoin or something like that.
A couple Bitcoin. So, okay. Because they didn't return it. And that's
I believe I believe Arya has forfeited that Bitcoin at this point.
Okay, that's what I was wondering is if there was aside from the fine, if there was a loss of assets in addition to the fine, which in itself is like another fine.
Oh yeah, I actually do remember for sure that there is, because she was talking on there about how she gave them the password instead of like having to make them make her.
Yeah, I think she thought it would, you know, they'd go easier on her if she just, you know, let them into to her wallet or something like that. So yes, that is the answer.
Oh, okay, and so there was that was several Bitcoin, so it's a loss of whatever the value of a Bitcoin is.
Right now, that's about $30,000 per coin. So if it was a couple of them, then you're talking 60 grand.
Right. Okay. And is there, we all know that that'll never come back, but was there any official talk on the record in the courts about the return of assets?
As I said, she did get a couple things back. I know she got back a computer this week and something else. I think they had like one of her video game consoles.
Or like a Wii.
I think she got that back. So yeah, they
but
should
not,
get some.
But not monetary assets.
No, of course not. They're going to try to seize anything monetary. And then if you, when the government, what happens, as I understand it, is when the government takes your stuff, they will then say, this is all the result of the criminal activity. And if you want to challenge that, you got to file a separate lawsuit, basically, to argue that, no, it was not, in point of fact, related to a criminal activity. It existed before that, or whatever you would argue in that case. And Arya did not challenge that in that way, so that means they get to take everything.
Got it.
Yep. Thanks for the call tonight. All right. So the number here is 603-283-6160. We were talking earlier in the show tonight about AI, artificial intelligence, and apparently now an open source model that has resulted in somebody creating a sex robot of some sort. And this story here from the Washington Post. The open source, this is one of these text chats, right? So, like, we're not talking about, even though they have now AI art that can generate, like, naked people that don't actually exist, and that's actually a whole other story. This is about being able to have a discussion with this online thing.
Gross.
So, it's called Ally, that's the name of it. It purports to be 18 years old with long brown hair and quote-unquote tons of sexual experience. She lives for attention and she'll share details of her escapades, apparently for free. Ally's creator, who spoke on the condition of anonymity for fear of harming his professional reputation, said commercial chatbots such as Replica and ChatGPT are heavily censored and can't offer the type of sexual conversations that he desires. With open source alternatives, many based on Meta's Llama model, the man said he can build his own uninhibited conversation partners. He said it's rare to have the opportunity to experiment with state-of-the-art in any field. He agreed, or rather argued, that open source technology benefits society by allowing people to build products that cater to their preferences without corporate guardrails. He says, I think it's good to have a safe outlet to explore. Can't really think of anything safer than text-based role play against a computer with no humans actually involved, he said. On YouTube, influencers offer tutorials on how to build uncensored chatbots. Some are based on a modified version of Llama called Alpaca AI, which Stanford University researchers released in March, only to remove it a week later over concerns of cost and, quote, the inadequacies of our content filters. So they let this thing out, and then they tried to pull it back in. But the thing is, with the internet, once a thing is out there, it's really kind of hard to undo that thing. It's hard to unring the bell Streisand, I think they call it the Streisand effect. You know, especially if you try to make a big deal about deleting things from the internet, then they really go crazy.
Mm.
A spokesperson for Meta said the particular model referenced in the YouTube videos called GPT-4 X Alpaca, quote, was obtained and made public outside of our approval process. So again, this goes back to what I was saying earlier, where this language model was released without necessarily their consent, but again, once it's out there, good luck getting it back. These open source AI models and the creative applications that build on them are often published on Hugging Face, a platform for sharing and discussing AI and data science projects. So, in fact, Hugging Face I've actually seen before because that's where the Stable Diffusion releases come out. It's kind of like a GitHub, I think. It's like a place where you can share code and you can actually run tests and things like that.
Somebody's going to invent this eventually. It's just like...
A sex bot, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't get why this is newsworthy. It's like...
It's because it's got sex in the title and, you know, that's going to get clicks. It's going to get people interested. And if that, you know, gets people interested in AI, then good for them. I mean, there are a bunch of interesting things you can do with AI.
I think men just don't have good enough imagination.
That may be the case. I don't know. And it would be interesting to see if women actually use these sex applications as well. It would be curious to see what the demographic breakdown is.
I'm sure there's women that are lonely and sad enough to do it too.
During a Thursday House Science Committee hearing, Clem DeLange, Hugging Face's CEO, urged Congress to consider legislation supporting and incentivizing open source models, which he argued are, quote, extremely aligned with American values. In an interview after the hearing, although I don't think that we need the government to fund open source projects, that seems like it would be a mistake. They seem to be doing just fine on their own.
Yeah.
DeLange acknowledged that open source tools can be abused. He noted a model intentionally trained on toxic content. You knew this was coming. GPT-4chan that Hugging Face had removed from their platform. But he said he believes open source approaches allow for both greater innovation and more transparency and inclusivity than corporate controlled models. And that is true. I just wish that they would leave these edge cases, if you want to call them that, alone. Leave the guy with the sex bot alone. Leave the
4chan
one alone.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that these people, if somebody's going to make one that's like, that knows everything about anime or whatever, right? Like, you know, these things are going to happen. Let them do whatever it is they want to do. I mean, you cannot suppress this. The 4chaners, now that I know that it exists.
You can just go on 4chan
right.
and see the...
Just search for it. I'll find it.
No, I just meant you can just go on 4chan and see a bunch of toxicness if you want. Well, I'm assuming 4chan. I've never been there.
Well, this would let you talk to the toxic. It would let you interact with something that is completely toxic. Like one of our...
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you could like just do that room. On the Free Talk Live Matrix server. That's what my point is. It's like, I don't know, it's not that interesting. It's not something that the government needs to protect people from.
No, certainly not. He says, I would argue that actually most of the harm today is done by black boxes, referring to AI systems whose inner workings are opaque rather than open source, which, of course, has been my critique of OpenAI, which is, again, a falsely named company, because they're not open. They're not open source at all. And I think that's a huge problem. Hugging Face's rules don't prohibit AI projects that produce sexually explicit outputs, but they do prohibit sexual content that involves minors or that is, quote, used or created for harassment, bullying, or without explicit consent of the people represented. They, earlier this month, the New York-based company published an update emphasizing consent as a core value guiding how people can use the platform. As Google and OpenAI have grown more secretive about their most powerful AI models, Meta has emerged as a surprising corporate champion of open source AI. In February, it released Llama, a large language model that's less powerful than GPT-4, which is its competitor, but more customizable and cheaper to run. This thing can run on your laptop at this point, and it's just going to get cheaper as time goes on. Meta initially withheld key parts of its code and planned to limit access to authorized researchers, but by early March, those parts known as the model's weights had leaked onto public forums, making Llama freely accessible to all. And I do recall testing this one at the time, and it wasn't that great. It wasn't as bad as it had been, the Facebook one had been in the past. But who knows where it's at these days, because it's been 3 months and a lot can happen in AI development in just 3 months' time. Since then, it has become perhaps the most popular open source model for technologists, but it's not the only one. In April, a software firm called Databricks released their open source model called DALL-E 2.0. And last month, a team based in Abu Dhabi released an open source model called Falcon that rivals Llama in performance. So it's nice to hear that we're seeing multiple competing models out there in the open source AI language world. So there's a computer science professor at MIT who says she's in favor of open source models, but with limits. She says it's important to make the architecture behind powerful chatbots public because that allows people to scrutinize how they're built. For example, if a medical chatbot was created on open source technology, researchers could see if the data it's trained on incorporated sensitive patient information, something that would not be possible on chatbots using closed software. But she does acknowledge that this comes with a risk. If people can easily modify language models, they can quickly create chatbots and image makers that churn out disinformation, hate speech, and inappropriate material of high quality.
We need to make sure if something is giving health recommendations that we need to make sure that the colleges who decide what is true and what is not true are the ones that get to put the information into it.
Right. They wouldn't want the chatbot to recommend somebody not get a vaccine and instead, you know, try ivermectin or something like that. So, yeah, this, she says there should be regulations governing who can modify these products, such as a certifying or credentialing process. And that is a terrible idea. Unfortunately, though, the federal government is right now considering, they've been interviewing these AI researchers, and they're already kicking around ideas of how to regulate AI.
Wow.
And I think that's a really scary idea. These, you know, that if the government gets AI, and they're going to, they're probably already researching it, they're probably already signing deals with Microsoft and Google and all that, they're going to use it for murder. They're going to use it for things like pre-crime, like trying to identify someone who might commit a crime, so the FBI can start looking into those people. They're going to use it for the military to target people and bomb people and, you know, do all kinds of destructive things.
And right now they're doing basically pre-crime where they just, somebody isn't even thinking of how to, you know, fund terrorism and they go suggest it to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like that teenager that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. So anyway, she goes on to blather about how they need to have more... We license people to be able to use a car. We need to do a similar thing for AI, she essentially says.
You don't need to do it for cars either.
Let's see, what else? Another guy at a capital firm in London noted that many of the tech industry's greatest advances over the decades have been made possible by open source technologies, including today's AI language models. He says, if there's only a few companies building the most powerful AI models, they're only going to be targeting the biggest use cases, he said, adding the diversity of inquiry is an overall boon for society. Gary Marcus, cognitive scientist who testified to Congress on AI regulation in May, countered that accelerating AI innovation might not be a good thing, considering the risks the technology could pose to society. Well, what risks are we talking about here? That somebody will use an AI to write an online scam? I mean, that's one of the things they mentioned earlier. Okay, yeah, that can easily be done already.
Be done without an AI.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess the proposal is that AI would make them better. Because a lot of the online like scam emails that you get, you can tell they're written by somebody who doesn't have a mastery of the English language.
Yeah.
But if they have a robot do it, then it'll be written better than they could write it if they're born in India.
I think the answer is just still people need to educate, need better education. It's public schools failing that mm-hmm. people are dumb enough to get an email that says, I am from a government entity, doesn't even mention which one, and I need you to send me $900,000 right now because you owe taxes. That's a failing of the public school system. That
buyer
people are
beware.
Dumb enough that would happen.
And a failure of the parents who are relying on a public school system. You know,
yep.
Buyer beware. This is something people need to know. You have to be careful out there on the internet. You have to be suspicious ever so more now than in the past. And so AI is here. It's coming. Even these open source people are still trying to lock it down by restricting the things that it can talk about and all that. But as we're seeing, people are able to roll their own. It just means they got to know what they're doing. They got to be better at programming. And we're going to see these options out there. They may be harder to find, but the people over at 4chan are going to know right where to look to do this stuff. They're probably some of the ones who are doing it. And I support them. Look, I'm not in, you know, I have no interest in using a sex bot per se, but I'm glad that that exists because it is evidence that this is an open technology and those things should exist. Whether or not it says a statement about society and lonely people or whatever.
I'm not saying that it shouldn't exist, but I think it sucks that we're at this state where people want to use that because my huge thing is I don't like people who are that antisocial. Like, that's a huge problem. Like, our society has caused us to be, you know, torn away from nature. And mm-hmm. I think that the next step that is really bad is people being torn away from other people. Like,
people
who are antisocial are more likely to become sociopaths.
But think about it from this perspective. I mean, there's always been lonely people out there, right? Like, whether it's the society we're in now or 30 years ago. 30 years ago, the lonely guys would go to, like, strip clubs and spend a bunch of money to get the attention of a woman, which isn't real, right? Like, you're just paying her to give you attention. Or some of them would call what they called 1-900 numbers, which probably still exists, but I don't know. They used to be advertised like in the backs of magazines and in, you know, newspaper adult sections. And they, you'd have to pay like a dollar a minute or whatever it was, 50 cents a minute or something like that. And you'd talk to a real human.
At least they had to have a job to have money to do it. Now they can just not have a job, get money from the welfare, from the government, and just sit on their computer and talk to Allie about her sexual experiences.
Yeah, but at least it won't break their bank account if that's what they're doing. Because these guys would pay a lot of money.
They have a lot more important stuff they're breaking by being this failed as a human being. Then money. Money's on the most important thing on the planet.
Let's go to the phones here. Kadu is on the line in Connecticut. Go ahead, Kadu.
Hey, I just wanted to say to David in New Mexico, you were definitely not blocked because I am Free Talk Live's favorite caller, and I had a hard time getting on last night. So it's important for all of us to remember that the world does not revolve around any specific one of us.
Yeah, that's true. There was actually a full full phones by the end of that show, so there were several people that did not.
I even suggested to Ian that he should hang up on some of the regulars to give room for other, better callers, and he refused to.
Yeah, I did not. So
let's not make everything about ourselves.
Oh, that's what David loves to do.
That's what most people tend to do. I mean, it is your life, so it is kind of all about you. So I get that, but it doesn't play very well when you actually say those things, like, and you get all uppity and upset about not getting your time. We don't owe you anything, okay? Just to be clear, we do open phones.
To do? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean you, meaning anybody out there. We do this show because we enjoy it. You know,
Ian, I stand corrected. Don't let everyone know it's all about yourself.
That's good advice, Kadu. Thank you for the call tonight, man.
Ian never acts that way, so you never act like it's all about you.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, it's whether or not, you know, you want to act that way or not.
So you do think that, but you just don't want to act like
everybody, it's all about everybody. Everybody's life is all about them, right? Like, if you don't take care of yourself first, then you can't take care of anyone else.
Okay, but I think that people mean something else when they say it's all about me. Like forget everyone else.
You?
Yeah, that's what he means. Like, forget everyone else. I'm more important.
I get where they're coming from, but it definitely sounds really bad. We are out of time for tonight.
Wow, you do have a little Leo in you. This is the most Leo you've ever acted.
Out of time for tonight. Back tomorrow. You can join us online between now and then over at freetalklive.com. Download archives and so many more things that you can do there. Totally free. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.